Typically, I am a pretty decisive person, and I really pride myself on it. I am the type of person, I know what I like, I know what I want, I don't really struggle with choosing. That is, except when it comes to restaurant menus. I'm terrible. Ethan and I went out to a really, really nice dinner last week to Streganona in Nagani, and I studied that menu like I was going to be quizzed on it. I weighed the pros and cons. Should we do the tasting menu? Should we order a la carte? Should I have wine? Should I have a cocktail? It's insane. For some reason, when I have a fancy meal, it's like I treat it as though it's the last meal I will ever consume in my entire life. What struck me upon reading our passage for today and this year, even though we do read it every year, is that Mary's making a really difficult and challenging decision. And like the rest of our Lenten readings this season, she has to do it in a time that is full of fear and as kind of a vulnerable and young person. Fear can certainly cripple us in our decision making. So this week, I'm asking for Mary's guidance. I want her to help us to know, when do we say yes to something that someone asks us? First, I love looking at the text and the nuances of the language because it wasn't written in English, so I like to start there. I love that when we hear that Mary was perplexed, it's really more accurately means perturbed. And when you hear that word, it means anxious and unsettled. When I hear it, I think maybe even a little annoyed, which she certainly would have been surprised, anxious, unsettled if an angel was coming to you and asking you to do something. But then we take our cues from Mary. She takes some time. She takes some time to think about it. We hear that she ponders what the angel asks her in her heart. And she asks some very important questions. How is this going to work, God? And it leads her ultimately to a yes. So why do we say yes to anything? Some yeses are definitely easier than others. Do you want a treat from Culver's? Yes, obviously, always. Should we get another kitten? Yeah, probably. Should we have a baby? That's not an easy one. It certainly wasn't an easy choice for me and our family, given the world these days. And I bet it was challenging too for Mary. Even though the text kind of wraps it up nicely, I bet it was hard. And so I wonder about that time that she spends pondering. I wonder, Mary, when you said yes, did you really know everything you were getting yourself into? Every time around this year, I think of that classic song, Mary, Did You Know? It gets a bad rap, especially in the circles that I'm in, because the answer is yes, Mary did know. She knew that Jesus would be holy, special, the Son of God. We don't have to condescend to Mary about that. She knew. But I wonder about her pondering, because yes, it is a blessing to have a baby. Yes, the angel does say that baby will be holy. And yes, it will be the Son of God. But Mary, did you know that being holy doesn't mean that your baby will be safe? Did you know that you would have to walk to Bethlehem and that you would give birth surrounded by barnyard animals and nobody but Joseph to help you? Did you know that Herod would search for your baby, that he would want to kill him? Did you know that you would have to go into hiding in Egypt? Did you know that your child would sacrifice himself for his friends and that you would have to watch? The heartbreaking answer is obviously no, she did not know. But I wonder, too, if Mary had known that having Jesus would change the hearts and the minds of millions of people, turn them towards God for 2,000 plus years. With that knowledge, would she have said yes? But she doesn't know everything, and she does still say yes. She says, "Yes, let it be with me according to your will." A very fancy yes, God. So I'm thinking about making choices, big, small choices. How do we do it faithfully like Mary? And with that, I'm considering a couple things. One, how do we even know if something is coming from God when we're asked? And two, what ultimately pulls us towards saying yes to what we see as God's will? Now, Mary doesn't often have it easy, but when an angel shows up and tells you, you can be the mother of the Son of God who will reign over the house of your people, it's pretty clear that God has sent Gabriel. The message is literally coming from God. And although biblical messages do often seem pretty clear, either we get an angel or we get someone saying, God told me this, I know that we don't often get that. So I think we can look at them and find that those biblical examples, oftentimes, when God is involved, it's not just about us, but it's about the betterment of many. I always love this biblical mantra, blessed to be a blessing, asking the question, if I say yes to this, am I making the choice to be a blessing to others too? Not just for the benefit of me. I like pointing in that direction because I feel like it's really the foundation of God's intention with so many of the moments where people are called and they say yes. We see it from way back, from Abraham and Sarah. They have descendants because those descendants are blessed to be a blessing, to multiply. Joseph has dreams in Egypt because he's called to save many people from starvation. The Israelites are originally blessed with the Holy Land because that means that they can bless other people. That's what they're called to do. It's the foundation of so much. And that may seem simple, but I think it can help us focus on what's a God calling and what's not. Just deciding to have ice cream from Culver's, maybe not a God calling. Deciding to bring a loved one or surprise them with ice cream from Culver's, maybe a God thing. But after that, we can take the next step. So what does pull us in the direction of saying yes after we've considered whether God is calling us to a venture? When I thought about Mary, a few things came to mind, but most of all, trust and hope. First, trust. If someone asked you to do something, is there anyone whom you would probably always say yes to? I think about people like my sister, my mom, my Ethan, what they all have in common, my Ethan. They all have in common are that they're people who I deeply trust. And what does that say about Mary's relationship with God? Apparently, Mary's relationship with God is a pretty marvelous one. She knows God, God knows her. God to her seems to be this trusted and loving person whom she believes has the best intentions for her in her life. It's very clear she's chosen, she's beloved, she's valued. She's not just some vessel for this greater plan. And that is clear when we look ahead to Mary's song, the Magnificat. She sings that God has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call her blessed. And then she talks about how God is for her, that God loves her. She knows God, that God is for those who are like her, lowly, poor, but maybe most of all, hungry for good things. It's amazing when you think about it that someone like Mary, she's a very young teenage peasant girl, pretty much a nobody, But she has this strong and mighty faith. And because of her trust in God, she chooses to hope in God's will. And I wonder if that's because she needs it the most. She's done the work. She knows this is a message from her good and loving God. She trusts God. But I think most of all, maybe she's just desperate for something good, for this hopefulness. And sometimes I think when we say yes to something that feels scary, it's because we also need that hope. Hope that there is something better for us, for others, for our world. So today I pray that may you find the courage, like Mary, to say yes, even when things feel scary or uncertain. May you trust. May you trust that God is with you and for you, and that hope is coming, and that that won't change, especially when you say yes. Amen.